At his name, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he's Lord. Hallelujah. Today, we don't have to, but we choose. On that day, they'll all have to. But today, you and I choose to call him Savior and Lord. And what a great thrill it is to know Jesus Christ. This is the tail end of a 10-day tour we're calling Impact. And these guys and I have been traveling all the way down as far as Baltimore, and today we're headed home. Always good to go home, you know, after you've been on the road a while, it's always good to go home. I tell folks, if they sing real good, it's because they're all warmed up. If they don't do so good, it's they're all wore out. So either way, we got you covered. But we're thrilled to be traveling. These three guys are all from India. You don't have to be from India to go to the Bible college. But we tend to have a number of them from India. Over here we have Jonathan Varghese. He's from Bangalore, or Bangaluru, as they're changing the name. He's in his second year. Behind me is Shannon. Shannon Benedict comes to us from Mysore, India. He has completed his education. He's working on what we call an OPT. The Lord willing, he'll go to be with his wife in Canada at the end of the year. Ken Moses comes to us from Calcutta, and he's also in his second year, and I pray the Lord will make them a blessing as they sing for you today.
Yeah. next song that we're going to sing talks about a new name that we have in Jesus Christ. You know, when we accept our Lord and Savior, Jesus our Lord, all our past that was tied to us, our pain, our shame, everything, no longer do our name, no longer does our name signify our past, but now we have a new name in Christ that's written by our Father in heaven. Amen. How many of you are glad for that?
There is a new day written down.
Amen. It's a great experience to know that your name's recorded in another world. I'm a citizen of the United States of America by birth. I became a citizen of Canada by choice because they let me keep my American status. But my name's recorded in another place. I've been to Jamaica enough times, they said I should become a citizen of Jamaica. But all that really doesn't matter as long as my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's where it really counts. That's my true citizenship today. Amen. Amen. Well, let me tell you some good news of what God's doing in Faith Bible College. We're thrilled. I was on the road a semester ago, back in March and April, and the Lord helped us raise some finances, and we were able to put new roofs on one of the buildings called Jericho. This is where Pastor lived for a few semesters in Jericho. The walls didn't come tumbling down. They stood, thank God. We were able to put new roof on there, and there's a better project looking. It got done. It got completed. Our classrooms are in an old building built in 1901. In 1901, they didn't think much about insulation. When it's cold outside, it's cold inside, really cold. And we have a central heating system, but the whole building, both all the buildings that are connected to the big heat plant, run on one thermostat, each building on one thermostat. So you have to heat the whole building to get one office warmed up, which is not really convenient, nor was it warm. And so we've been trying to put in some heat pumps from classroom to classroom. We do have a couple of them in, and those classrooms are cooled in the heat. That's not very often. But they're warmed up in the winter, which is most of the time they're there. God has been gracious to us in getting us some more books for our library. Am I aiming it in the right direction? Somebody just give me a click. There you go. And so when I went there to run the college 20 years ago, 20 plus, we only had about 5,000 volumes in the library. Today we have 15,000 in the library. We're very grateful for the donations along the way that have made a much more substantial library for our students to study. The whole effort here at Faith Bible College is keeping the cost as low as possible. When education is extremely expensive and it can cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to get an education, most Bible colleges will charge men like these somewhere around $100,000 to get a bachelor degree. And it's hard to get in ministry right out of collecting that kind of debt. Your pastor mentioned, and we are so proud of your pastor. Give it up for your pastor. We are so proud of him and what the Lord's done with his life. Amen. We're thrilled to have him come home and preach for us. You're a blessed people hearing the word of God from this fine preacher of the gospel. Our endeavor has always been keep the costs as low as possible. There's only one prayer request Jesus gave us. He taught us how to pray. Matthew, we record the prayer that most people call the model prayer or the Lord's Prayer. But he only asked us to pray one thing. He said, the harvest is great and the laborers are few. Pray ye, therefore, that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into that harvest field. And so when people are ready to go, somebody ought to help them get there, is our opinion. No soldier goes to war having to buy his own boots and his own armament and buy his own gun, buy his own ammunition. No. The people he's fighting for help make that all possible. And so we believe this is a spiritual battle, and we need spiritual leadership. And so we do a lot of partnering. We partner with God. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. It's a waste of time when God's not in it. I heard Brother Johansson from Elam Bible College say to me one day, young man, I was a little younger then. Young man, if you ever see God doing anything, drop whatever you're doing and join in with what God's doing, because what God's doing is going to last. What you're doing could fade. And so we partner with God. We partner with the faculty. The faculty work at this Bible college for far less than their counterparts at other Bible colleges. But they got the vision of the harvest. It's the harvest. It's not really about even these students. It's the harvest. It's not about the ones that are there now. It's the harvest. We're looking farther down the road than just education for these immediate students. And so we partner. We partner with churches. And I have these gentlemen been with me. We've traveled night after night and preach and sing and testify of the goodness of the Lord. And people help us get on board with us and sponsor. And so we are very grateful. We partner with businessmen. There's a businessman right now in New Brunswick who has offered to help us by giving us a matching fund. Whatever I collect on the road to over this trip will be matched dollar for dollar. God's provided a great thing for him. As he's given to the Bible College, he's told me how his business has expanded as he keeps on giving. He keeps making greater pledges, and God keeps expanding his business. And so we're very grateful for the businessmen and women that God has raised up to sponsor the school. And so pastor's going to come. And right now, and we're going to give you an opportunity. God bless you, Pastor. And thank you so much, Pastor, for opening the door and let us be here with you. We are rejoicing in being with you today.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And in just one moment, Dr. Bell's going to come back. He's going to bring a word from the Lord for us. But we just want to pause and just receive an offering for Faith Bible College. In your bulletin this morning, there is a second offering envelope. I asked Dr. Bell, so the school is just outside of Bangor, Maine, and it gets a little cold in Bangor, Maine in the winter. And when I was a student, all of the buildings were heated by a big old coal furnace that heated hot water. And when we got up, we had morning prayers at 7 o'clock every morning in the chapel. Had to be dressed in your suit and ready to go by 7. So I'd get up about 6 o'clock and go down to the men's bathroom and turn on the shower. And it was good for your prayer life being a student at Faith School, because every morning I never knew whether the water would be hot by 6 a.m. or not. So, and I'd put my hand on the shower handle and I'd say, please God, not today, not a cold shower this morning, Lord. And sometimes there was hot water, sometimes there wasn't. But I asked Dr. Bell, how much does it cost to put one of these heat pumps in a classroom to deliver heat to those rooms so that it's comfortable for studying and for learning ministry and learning the Word of God? He said it's about $5,000 to put in a heat pump in each room. So I would love for I think we're good for at least one heat pump. Don't you think so? Oh my goodness! Don't you think we're good? Don't you think we're good for at least one heat pump? Maybe we're good for two. So would you take a moment? Would you just prepare an offering? You can use the offering envelope in your bulletin to share an offering. I'm going to ask the ushers to come, and as soon as you've given, Dr. Bell's going to come back, and he's going to share a word from the Lord with us this morning. Let's just pray. Father, thanks for this opportunity, Lord, to sow into the ministries, future ministries of young men and young women who have answered the call, who have said yes, Lord. Thank you for Faith Bible College. Lord, we thank you for hundreds of graduates, Lord, serving you all around the globe. Lord, here at home and in nations all around the world, Lord, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, we give gifts of love this morning. Lord, sacrificial offerings. Lord, to just help meet a practical need of these students. Lord, we just pray you'd bless these offerings, bless these givers. Lord, we open our hearts to just receive a wonderful word from you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you while you give, and Dr. Bell's coming back.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your giving today. And we're grateful, very grateful. Match dollar for dollar, whatever you can do. The Lord bless you. Every 10 becomes 20. Every 100 becomes 200. Every 1,000 becomes 2,000. Every 5,000 becomes 10,000. Up to $1 million. So if you want to write a check, I think I have already collected a little bit of that, so you'd have to see me to get it all matched. But you can write million, M-I-L-L-I-O-N. Just thought if you needed the help. Thank you so much. I appreciate the folks in the sound room because I'm going to depend on you. Oh, maybe I'm rolling now. Hey, we're going. I want to speak to you on the subject this morning of get in the Spirit. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. Would you like to stand together with me, change your position in honor to God's word? This is the story of John on the Isle of Patmos. And the Bible says in verse 9, Revelation chapter 1, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book. Send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven candlesticks was light, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire. His feet like unto fine brass, as if they'd burned in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. His countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, for I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. Make it alive and real to our hearts. Help us to grow in grace. Help us to be more effective for you than we've ever been. We'll thank you for this in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. You may be seated together in the presence of the Lord. I want to speak on the subject, get in the Spirit. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. When I was in Bible college, I'm sure it was different for your pastor, but when I was in Bible college, every once in a while, somebody get a little carnal. And somebody come by and say, get in the Spirit, brother. If you get in the Spirit, you won't talk like that. Get in the Spirit, you won't act like that. Just get in the Spirit. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, John, he's not got the most comfortable of arrangements here. He's on an isle called Patmos, on the Isle of Patmos, kind of like what we'd understand in America as being Alcatraz, an island out in the sea, and there's no way of escape, and here he is, and his mates on the island are the offscouring of society. It's easy to say I could get in the Spirit if things were going better for me, if things were at peace at my house, if my bills were all paid, if I wasn't struggling so. I could really get in the Spirit, sir, if I had better surroundings. Well, you could tell that to John. John understood it wasn't what was happening on the outside, but what was going on the inside that made the difference of getting in the Spirit. Because it's not about what's going on the outside of your life that really matters. It's what you let happen on the inside of your life. And as far as John's concerned, Jesus is still Lord. Doesn't matter that I'm not where I want to be. I'm not going through things I want to. Matter of fact, he says, I'm here for the testimony of the gospel. Other people are here for a lot of other reasons, like murder and whoremongering, all kind of bad stuff. But I'm here because of my testimony for Jesus Christ. But John says, in the middle of this, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Aren't you glad? Amen. Aren't you glad for a day that you can come together and worship? It gets crazy out there. It gets wild out there. But we get a chance to get in here and say, let's get in the Spirit. As you worship God, as you pour your heart out to Him, the presence of the living God comes down and ministers to your heart and to your life. So getting in the Spirit has everything to do with what's going on in here. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. When I got in the Spirit, something began to happen to me. I believe that what happened to John on the Isle of Patmos can happen for you when you get in the Spirit. There are three things I believe happened to John. John said, I got in the Spirit and I heard a voice speak to me. When you get in the Spirit, you'll hear what others are not hearing. Lots of people on the Isle of Patmos, but not everybody got this revelation. Not everybody heard what John was hearing. John was hearing something different because he was in the Spirit. Now listen, if you're here this morning and you've never been born again, where the Holy Spirit of God comes down and quickens your spirit, through an act of repentance, of receiving Christ in your life, then you can't possibly know what I'm talking about. But if you're here this morning and you have been born again, like Jesus said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. If you've been born again, I'm telling you, you have the opportunity to sense the presence and the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit come be fresh and real in your life today. And in the Spirit, you begin to hear what other people are not hearing. Well, the world's saying wars and rumors of wars. In the Spirit, we begin to hear, lift up your head and rejoice. Your redemption's drawn nigh. When the world's talking about difficulty and adversity, you can hear the Master say, peace give I unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you, but my peace I give to you. When the rest of the world is down and depressed, you hear a different voice saying to you, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Spirit. And may the Holy Spirit come this morning and flood your heart and mind, and you begin to hear a word that comes from heaven. Give us ears to tune into what the Spirit is saying in this hour. Jesus kept saying to his disciples, he that hath an ear, let him hear. He wasn't talking about the natural ear and a natural hearing. Like he said to each of the churches through John, each one got a message, let he that hath an ear, let him hear. Oh God, this morning I pray that every bit of deafness would be gone and we would hear heaven talking. We'd hear the voice of God. We'd hear from heaven. You can't make it on what I tell you. You're going to have to hear from God. What I say will fade, but the word of God does not fade. May we have ears to hear what God is saying. When you get in the Spirit, you hear. Just like I believe in this room this morning, there are sounds we're not hearing. We're just not tuned in. Bring in a radio. You begin to pick up some stations. We're not hearing it. We're not tuned into it. I believe heaven is still speaking. If anybody's listening, oh God, give me an ear to hear what you're saying to your church. When you get in the Spirit, you hear what others aren't hearing. And you see what others aren't seeing. John said, I heard the voice, and I turned to see who spoke to me. I believe if you were to talk to John in this experience, he'd say, yeah, I'd heard that voice so many a time. I knew who it was. But something inside said, I just want to see him. It's been a while since he was taken from us, maybe 30 years or so. I just want to see him. I want a fresh look upon him. John said, I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw him. He was the glorified, risen Christ standing there amidst the candlesticks. John said, when I got a glimpse of him, I recorded it down from the whiteness of his hair to the brash-lookingness of his feet and describes him from head to toe. There was something about looking upon him. Oh, I tell you this morning, when you get in the spirit, you begin to see what others aren't seeing. You may not get the revelation that John got, but you might not, and you might not see everything John saw. But I believe there's a place of getting in the spirit in worship where you begin to see that God is indeed at work in your life. I've listened to some Christians tell their tale. As far as they're concerned, the devil's got a control on their home and their family and their lives. When you get in the spirit, you begin to see God's got everything under control. When you get in the spirit, you begin to see it's not all seen with the natural eye. For I see the hand of God. I don't always see the wholeness that John saw, but I see his hand at work in my life. I began to see, like Paul said, nothing can separate me from the love of God. I began to understand that he's got me, he's got this, and all things are going to work together for good because his hand is weaving in here. I remember when God gave me a vision, I was going to start a school in Ghana. And what I needed was the internet because I'm a real good missionary. I sleep in my own bed, I eat my own food, and then I go to Africa twice a week. Good missionary. No, not a good missionary. But I would go by Zoom or Skype or whatever it is you use. The internet would connect me there. I had this vision. But there was no way I could do it in Maine because we didn't have fiber in Maine. I got this vision. I'm saying, God, I'm with you. I'll do this, but how? And then they were putting fiber in Maine, and they put it all the way around me. I mean, a big loop all the way around. And I said, God, that's wonderful, but it doesn't land here. I still can't do this. And I would remind the Lord often that, you know, great dream, great vision, but I can't make this happen. Until I noted that the big plan and picture going like this had changed, and it went up like this, came down, and went over like this. And it came right down the major highway that runs through Charleston. But it's still 2 miles from the school. Great, great God, that's wonderful, but it still doesn't get to me. A man walked into my office and said, I believe you could use fiber optics right here at this college. I said, I sure could. You don't understand the dream I've got in my heart. He said, well, I can't get it for my business, but you can, and I'll go to the capital, and I'll seek out a grant. He came back and told me, I got a grant. It's going to take $20,000 to get that fiber stretched over here to the college, but I got the grant, and we're going to do this. And I said, Lord, I see your hand. I see your hand. I see what you're doing. I didn't know how it was going to work, but now I see, oh, man, there's times in my life I just saw the hand of God. You're working all the time. Even when I didn't see it, you're working. Even when I didn't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. I see your hand moving in my life. When you get in the spirit, you hear what others aren't hearing. You see what others aren't seeing. And you feel what others aren't feeling. You feel what others aren't feeling. Listen, before you go call 911 and wonder what the pastor's done, got this crazy guy up here, he's hearing stuff nobody else is hearing. He's seeing stuff nobody else is seeing. And now he's gone to feeling stuff nobody else is feeling. I mean, this is a little out there for me, preacher. It's just a little out there. But if you've ever been in church a few times, you might be able to relate when I tell you He touched me. He touched me. And oh, the joy that filled my soul. Something happened. And now I know he touched me and he made me whole. John said when I got in his presence, I fell prostrate before him. I couldn't sustain myself. I fell prostrate in his presence. But then he laid his right hand on me. And when he touched me, something happened. My strength was renewed. It brought me back to my feet. I stood there in the presence of the Most High. I want to encourage you this morning. We can run a little low on strength, a little low on energy, but there's a place in the presence of God where he lays his hand upon your life and he touches you, and strength comes from another world and pours into you, and you're not going to be the same because of the touch of the Master's hand. Something's going to change. What you didn't think was possible now becomes possible. And you begin to say with the Apostle Paul, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. For I found a touch that comes from the hand of the Master. And that makes all the difference in my life. I'm not talking about willpower. I'm not talking about just getting the gumption up to do. I'm talking about real strength. Hit the next slide for me, please. I'm talking about real strength that comes. For they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Find myself in the presence of the Most High God and find a touch that comes from another world. I've been there when he touched me. He touched me. Oh, the joy. For when you get in the Spirit, you hear what others aren't hearing. You see what others aren't seeing. And you feel what others aren't feeling. John gets this great revelation. And let me close this morning. Come give me some music to help me slow down. Because I'm not feeling like slowing down right yet. But you're going to help me get there. When we get in the Spirit, we hear what others aren't hearing. We see what others aren't seeing. And we feel what others aren't feeling. And don't I love good church? When you get in the presence of God. You get a word from the Lord. Get a sense of God's hand working in your life. And you begin to feel the touch of heaven. But John, this isn't just about having good church. You're out here on the aisle and things are pretty lonely and pretty rough. But I got a job that needs getting done. I need somebody to take some dictation. I need somebody to write some letters. And so you thought this was all messed up when you landed here. But I got a plan and I'm working a plan. If you'll just take some dictation, John, I'm going to make you a blessing to the churches. You're going to tell them about me in a way they've never seen me before. You're going to express me in a way they would have never known me. Because I'm going to let you take dictation. And I got news for you this morning. I love good church with the best of them. But I'm here to declare to you that God's got a bigger plan than our gathering here this morning. He's got a bigger plan than our having church here today. He's got a bigger plan than this. He's got a plan for a lost and dying world. And he's preparing your heart through hearing the word, through feeling the touch, through seeing his hand work in your life, that you'll step out into this cold, dark world and begin to declare he's alive. He's alive. I saw him for myself. He's alive. I encountered God this morning. And God is able to change your life. I've encountered God. And he sent me with a message that he loves you and he cares about you. And you begin to take a message to the world around you that you're going to encounter this week. Of the 7.5 billion people on the planet, God chose you. Does that not stagger my mind every time I say it? 7.5 billion people on the planet, and God gave me opportunity to receive His presence and power. And I tell you today, God's got a plan for you. His plan is not just to bless you, isn't just to make Himself real to you, but that you would make Him real to the world. Amen. Amen. So He's looking for somebody who will say like Isaiah when he got in the presence of God. God said, who will go for us and who can we send? Isaiah says, here am I, Lord. Send me. I've been in your presence. I've sensed the cleansing and the presence and power. You can use me, Lord. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Come, gentlemen, get ready to sing with Him. Let me just ask a couple of questions. Are you here this morning and you've never opened your heart to Jesus? You don't understand all that I preached about today because you've never opened your heart to Jesus. I want to tell you, He wants to make Himself real to you. More real to you than the neighbor sitting alongside of you. More real to you than the people you work with. He wants to make Himself so real to you that you'd say, preacher, I need this Jesus in my life. Would you pray for me this morning that I'd encounter God while I'm here in this service? Would you just slip it up and back down? Amen. Amen. Waiting just a moment. How many say this morning, I need a fresh word from God today. I need God to speak to me. God knows how to talk to us. He knows how to talk to us. God bless you. God bless you. Around the house, God knows how to talk to you this morning. How many say, preacher, I need a fresh vision of His hand working in my life. God bless you. God bless you. Around the house. How many say, preacher, I really need strength this morning. I need the power of God to flow in my life. I need some fresh joy, for the joy of the Lord is my strength. God bless you. Here's my real call for you. How many are willing to say, I'll go where He wants me to go this week. I'll say what He wants me to say this week. I don't want to just encounter God, but I want to do His bidding of taking Him to the world. Would you raise your hand high right now, around this room? Our Heavenly Father, as we're bowed in Your presence right now, I pray the Holy Ghost begin to sweep across this congregation of people today. I pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus that You begin to show Yourself strong. Give ears to hear in this house. May they hear the voice of God. I pray this morning that they'll receive a fresh word and a fresh vision of what You're wanting to do in their lives. And I pray they'll have a fresh touch come from another world. But I pray this morning, most of all, Your people would be empowered and strengthened to do the work of the ministry. I pray You'd send them forth to the workplace, to the place of commerce. You'd send them forth to the neighborhood. You'd send them forth with a fresh touch and a fresh anointing and a fresh zeal to communicate the gospel, the good news. You chose these out of 7.5 billion people on the planet. You chose these to do Your bidding. Bless them today, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand together with me all around the house?
The atmosphere is changing.
The atmosphere is changing now.
That the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence.
Would you worship just a moment?
The evidence is
all around. For the Spirit of the Lord is here.
The atmosphere is changing now. That the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around. That the Spirit of the Lord is here on the flow. Overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with your love. Your love surrounds us. You're the reason we came to encounter your love. Your love surrounds us. Overflow, overflow in this place.
Oh,
fill our hearts with your love.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got good news. You don't have to leave this atmosphere here. You can take it with you in the car. You can take it with you at your house. All you got to do is remember the atmosphere is not predicted by what's on the outside, but by what's going on the inside. And as long as there's a praise on the inside, as long as there's a worship on the inside, as long as there's a prayer on the inside, you'll sense that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And if that Spirit dwell in you, it will quicken your mortal body. And you can rejoice in the goodness and faithfulness of God. I'm going to dismiss you. You need to go. But if you'd like prayer, I'm going to be right here. God bless you. Father, go with your people. Overshadow their way. Let them sense a special anointing on them this week. Let them sense the hand of God at work in their lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Spirit of the Lord is here, and overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with your love surrounds us. You're the reason we came to encounter your love, your love.
Atmosphere.
Your kingdom come, Your will be done here as in heaven. And Lord, I need You. Oh, I need You. Every hour I need You. My
Yeah.